The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
As we open the New Testament, we find 27 books, a very logical, systematic section of inspired writing. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1, verse 21. It is indeed the word of God and not the word of men, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work, as Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, the last two verses. The New Testament is divided into four sections in a very systematic way. First of all, we have the life of Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each telling us the good news, the glad tidings, the gospel of the Son of God. And then the book of Acts, in a section all its own, tells us how to become a Christian. And then in 21 epistles, Romans through Jude, we learn how to live the Christian life. And finally, the book of Revelation, which tells us the hope of the Christian. So the New Testament enjoins upon us four brilliant truths: the life of Christ, how to become a Christian, how to live as a Christian, and the hope of a Christian. Some have said the book of Revelation tells us how to die as a Christian. Revelation 14:13 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And the next to last verse in the Bible says, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." So the thrust of the entire Bible is Christ is coming. The Old Testament said Christ is coming. The first part of the New Testament said He has come. And the last part of the Bible says He is coming again. Why do we have four accounts of the life of Christ? Many people have asked. Why did Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell us the story of the life of Christ? Let's suppose that four observant, honest people were to witness an automobile accident involving two cars. The man who saw it would say, "I can tell you the make and models of the cars and how far the skid marks are." A woman viewing it would say, "I don't know anything about that, but the woman in the first car had on a blue dress and the woman in the second car had on a green dress." A little girl observing it would say, "I don't know anything about that, but I saw a baby doll in that first car." And a little boy watching it would say, "I saw a little dog almost get run over, too." All of them told the truth, but their fuller story corroborated and substantiated each other's testimony. And we have that purpose for four accounts of the life of Christ. As a result of four men inspired to write the life of our Lord, we have a fuller, richer story with no contradictions, but much substantiation. For instance, Matthew evidently wrote to the Jews and stressed the kingdom of Christ. They misunderstood the nature of the Messiahship of our Lord and Redeemer, and they were written to correct their misconceptions and to set forth the fact that the kingdom of Christ had come, but it was a spiritual emphasis and not a carnal rule and reign. Mark, briefer than the other accounts, evidently was written to the Romans, the military mind of the day. And thus, with sharp and decisive strokes, Mark was inspired to write of the power and majesty and glory and grandeur of Christ. And when Jewish customs are explained, Mark, to his Roman auditors, puts in parenthesis, as in Mark 7, what is meant by Jewish customs. There it says the Pharisees accused the Lord and his disciples of eating with defiled hands, and Mark puts in parenthesis, that is, unwashing hands. And then the book of Luke, evidently written to the Greeks, stressed the ideal manhood of Christ. The Grecian state for years had said to the mothers of Greece, "If you have a little girl, you can just throw her away. But if you have a boy, give him to the state, and we'll make him the ideal specimen of manhood, physically, mentally, and socially." But in Luke 2:52, we read that Christ is the ideal man, and he added the dimension, the stature of spiritual perfection. And then the book of John, written much later, written by the dearest friend the Lord ever had, a deeper, richer treatise by far. And it stresses the divinity of our Lord, and yet puts emphasis upon his love of the individual. Jesus' concern for the individual. For instance, in John chapter 1, Jesus had time for Andrew and for Simon Peter and for Philip and Nathaniel, and to transform their lives and their very thinking. In John chapter 3, he had time for Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, who came to him by night, and to make such an impact on his life that two times later in the book of John, Nicodemus is mentioned. In John 7, when he takes up for the Lord before the Sanhedrin, and then in John 19, when he courageously, along with Joseph Arimathea, begs for the body of Jesus to make proper burial. In John chapter 4, in a tender scene never to be forgotten, our Lord had time for the woman at the well in Samaria near Sychar to tell her all things she had ever done, according to her own words, and to make an impact upon her life forever. In John 5, when no one else had time, Jesus took time on the Sabbath day to heal the man who was lame. Others were rushing over him by the pool of Bethesda, the sheep gate, but our Lord, in compassion, had time for him. And then in John chapter 8, Jesus took time for the woman that had been accused of adultery to send her on her way to sin no more, and to send her accusers, self-righteous, arrogant, pharisaical men, on their way to do some spiritual thinking. In John 9, he had time for the man born blind, and to also reach out and touch him spiritually with the power of his infinite light. In John 11, he went to Bethany and had time to raise Lazarus from the dead, saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. If a man believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. If a man believe in me, he'll never really die." And in those words, Jesus gave answer to Job's ancient question, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Job 14, verse 14. Jesus had time to wash the apostles' feet, John 13, and impress Peter in such a way as he girded himself with a towel to perform this act of humility that Peter later wrote in 1 Peter 5:5, "Gird yourself with humility." The lesson there was not washing feet. The lesson there was the humility it takes to wash clothes, wash feet, wash a car, paint a house, help anybody in need in the name of Jesus. As Matthew 10:42 says, if you give a cup of water in Jesus' name, it'll be remembered. So Jesus, the friend of the individual. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all written to stress that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In fact, at the end of these books, in John 20, verse 31, John is inspired to write, "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that in believing you might have life through his name." Why these four accounts of the life of Christ? In Mark 14:47, we have an illustration. We read that someone standing by Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane took a sword and cut off somebody's ear. But if we put Matthew and Luke and John with Mark 14:47, we learn that Simon Peter was the one with the sword. He cut off the right ear of Malchus, and Jesus healed him. Thus, the purpose of four accounts, to give us a fuller, richer story that substantiates and corroborates the greatest life ever lived. Years later, the Apostle Paul was inspired to write of the Gospel of Christ, which consisted of the story of the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Son of God, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. These items are items of good news, glad tidings, gospel teaching. And that's why we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the life of Christ.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.